Welcome, and you're listening to Geekologist Radio, a division of the Mulehorn Gaming Network. Now,
shut up and sit down.
Hey, it's Caucasian Sane, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through our queue, into our gaming systems, and ride the hype train from the past and into the future. Let's introduce our crew for tonight's cast. First up, we have Mr. Damian Nash, back from nowhere's land last week.
What's up, everybody? I'm excited to be back. It's always interesting listening to you guys when I'm not here. And so I was yelling at my radio. So tonight I actually get to yell back at you guys.
Say this now.
Chris, what's up, man?
Not much. I felt like we just did this. Like, it feels like Sunday all over again. Like, really.
Yes. It's been like 3 days.
Yeah. Really, right? All right, Fouts?
What's going on, guys? I'll tell you one thing I'm missing is Westworld. I want that show back right now.
Oh, God, yes. I wanted to talk so much about that, and then just stuff messed up, and yeah. But you guys,
Fouts did
you too.
Hey.
You, yeah, I know, Fouts did too. Yep, yeah.
I ain't ruling it out, man. I ain't ruling it out.
It was rough last week.
Let's get in the... Yeah. All right. If we're running a little short and y'all want to talk about it, go for it. But right now, we have our segment of what we're currently watching. It's in our queue.
We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
All right. So, right now, I'm rewatching for the third time a little series called Spartacus Blood and Sand. Going through it. Still finding new things on my third run through. If you're a fan of Roman history or brutal cinematography combined with a comic flair, comic as in comics, not comedy, then you really owe it to yourself to give the series a go. Reasons to watch. If you're a fan of Sam Raimi, I am, or Legend of the Seeker, the series, not only bolsters much of the same cast, it hits spot on with Raimi's flair for the morbid, yet still offering characters who steal the show with their one-liners.
Is he the director of the?
He is. Spartacus? Yeah, Sam Raimi. Yeah, it's one of his babies. Did a really good job with it. The characters in it just are really dry in. Not a show you can watch with little ones around at all, though.
No.
As Chris would like to say, NC-17.
NC-17. Yeah, like almost every show about Rome has to do like Roman bloody fights and Roman orgies in some point.
Exactly.
HBO's Rome did it. This one does it. There's a new one coming out soon. I just saw Romans, I think. I forgot where I saw a trailer for it, but it's coming out soon. So, yeah, and it looks like to go that route as well. So it's like, yeah, we're going to have to go TVMA for this.
Are you talking about the new one about the new Pope or whatever?
No.
But that one looks that way too.
there's another one. I think it's called Romans. I saw a trailer for it. I forgot what show it's on, but I can look it up more in detail and maybe put it on in a future episode instead of just casually mentioning it when I have no detail.
That's like so episode one.
Yeah, what about this? Let's talk about it. I don't know nothing. Why did I do this to myself?
Who are we talking about?
But so just kind of talking a little bit more about it. So like on my third run through, I am catching so much more stuff, and I partially blame it on you guys. So
you're not allowed to blame it on us.
Follow with me. I blame it on you guys because I blame it on you guys and I blame it on Westworld because I now, when I'm watching series, I'm paying more attention to all the details from the very beginning. Now, some shows you can see where there's the disconnects with the writers and you're like, oh, this so many. Now when I see it, I'm like, oh, so many missed opportunities. For being the fact that they lost the original Spartacus in the first season, when they lost Andy, it was hard. They weren't sure if they're going to be able to go forward. They found somebody. The writers, you would think, knew the whole story from the very beginning, but they didn't. They didn't know how long they were going to run for, all that stuff. But it actually plays together really well, and I'm finding those little key sequences that just, oh, someone looked at someone in one scene, and now I'm even noticing that when you see the people in that are cheering on, just the crowd, later on they become a talking, actually speaking character, and you're like, oh, hey, I remember them from this, you know, this episode. They were one of the crowds cheering for the kill. It's just kind of cool with that, and I blame it. I blame a lot of that on Westworld. I'm watching through Sons of Anarchy now again, and noticing the same thing.
I'll take the blame for that. Yeah, because we're making you watch stuff more in detail. Because like, damn it, Derek and Chris and Brandon, they're gonna bring up all that stuff that they saw in detail. I better watch all the dang details.
Yeah. So it's like I watch through. It's like I can't do my typical thing where I put on the show and then like if I fall asleep, I pick it up back up and watch it again. You know, but. You know, it's been pretty cool. Now, keep it on with that Sam Raimi thing. My wife really likes watching scary movies. And so we rented Don't Breathe. And basically, dark, twisted, and full of jump scares, the film entertains with true Raimi fashion and delivers a good thrill ride, even beating out the fact that some scenes may be a bit predictable or cliche, especially if you follow The Walking Dead. Just kind of throwing it in there. If you're following The Walking Dead, I'm talking more about the Glenn's dead scene, and he wasn't. We're not talking about the baseball bat to the head, but
The fake death.
Yeah. So something similar that happens, and my wife is like, "Oh, that sucks," and I'm like, "No. Trust me, I see this coming. I see this one." But reasons to watch: Stephen Lang, he's a really good character actor. He's been in quite a few films. He was the villain in Avatar.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. So he's the blind man. It's a reason alone to watch through little dialogue. His few lines are uttered with such creepy excellence that they are amplified by the sound and editing team, showing that Raimi is still king of small-budget films that take place in a singular area. The film was shot on a $9.9 million budget and brought in approximately $152.8 million. Now with all this Sam Raimi talk, the main thing I want to see is, you know, I think it's time we can forgive him for Spider-Man 3.
I don't think so.
I mean, I just want to see Spider-Man 3 wasn't part of the continuity. I would love them to give him a bone, give him another Marvel film, and let him and see what he can do.
No, I'd bone him right out of that. Nope.
Like, he can do his own stuff, but I mean, I went. The Spider-Man movies were great. They were ahead of their time in terms of how well received they were, the breaking box office records and such. But the new Marvel Cinematic Universe, just that reset,
it just trounces. Takes the cake. It does.
Yeah,
it really does.
It sets it up so nicely with good character intros. I mean, great plot mixing in with the humor and action and everything, and all the directors follow a pretty consistent theme. And throwing him into that mix is just going to be like, it could be like, if it's something comic book, be it minor and not in one of the major cinematic universes.
Well, I'm saying throw him. I'm saying
or something goofy.
Yeah, I'm saying give him Howard the Duck. You know.
Yeah, maybe yes. Something like yeah, maybe
he would
something
do good
like that.
With it. He would be really
there's
good.
There's no
with
room
it.
For Mickey Mouse, Spider-Man anymore. Like that's long gone.
Yeah. But I mean, mm-hmm. But yeah, you give him something like Howard the Duck, and he's got that. You know, he's great with one-liners. You know, just give him that, and he'll create something that's really worthwhile. And,
yeah, but somebody who takes over Howard the Ducks is going to have to be like more edgy, like a dark, edgy comedy. Like it's going to be like you're going to have to take it up a notch to like the rated R version of.
Well, you have to be. You have to be because I mean, in all honesty, he is so crude and crude and just raunchy. It would have to be rated R.
Give it to Quentin Tarantino. Yep.
DC Carroll capture him.
See, I haven't rewatched Howard the Duck ever, except
Wait,
the times
never
when
watched
I was a teenager
it?
And absolutely loved it because No, I haven't rewatched it. Oh, so I watched it as a teenager quite a few times, loved it, but haven't rewatched it as an adult because I kind of want to keep the fond memories of me, a teenage me, watching this. Like I'm not supposed to be watching this movie. Like,
you'll catch ducks, you'll catch a lot of
is a nice sidekick, but I don't carrying a movie. I don't know so much.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, he's the new combo Deadpool right now is Howard the Duck.
Yep.
They add it, and there's a whole comic book line, Deadpool Duck, because Howard the Duck gets mixed with Deadpool in some gene thing, and so they're fighting for possession of the body, but it looks like a duck.
Oh, what a stretch.
He's been Iron Duck. Hell, he's been all over. So, yeah, it's awesome.
All right, what's next?
another movie that just came out to rent last night, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. It's a film based off a series of novels, and it's starring Asa Butterfield of Ender's Game fame. Just so you know, this was my first time watching a movie, and my daughter, who's 9, just sits there, starts staring at the screen and goes, "He's got such beautiful eyes." I'm looking over it. I'm like, "You're 9. You knock that off." It's directed and produced by Tim Burton. The film just released out to purchase or rent and is perfectly executed, mystically infused fantasy romp tethered into our very reality. Why I say you should watch it. Though some scenes may be a tad gruesome for young children, the film is one that can keep the whole family entertained, which is unique and positively fun characters. The special effects were great, and the use of CGI was not jarring, and the film felt kind of like a 1940s X-Men team-up. I'd score a solid 8.7 on the film. It captured the whole family's attention. Brandon, what's your say?
I'd give it a 6.5. Mm-hmm. I seen it in theaters, too, so.
Okay. So now we're going to get to what we all want to talk. Well, all but Mr. Sourpuss.
Wake me up when you guys are done with this part. Let's talk about some Walking Dead.
Oh,
zombies. An episode without a lot of zombies.
Without a lot of zombies. First of all, let's recall back to Sunday when Cajun's already seen this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, these are the things that I think we're going to see. And like literally when I listened back to the podcast after watching the episode, I'm like, check, 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 check. Like I literally hit note for note what was going on in the episode prior to watching it. It was ridiculous.
It was.
I'm sitting there just like, did you know something before?
And I hadn't even seen it. Like, because I watched it the other night. My wife fell asleep. And she's like, did you just watch that? I'm like, yeah, well, I have to watch it for the podcast. Like, or quicker than I normally would wait for, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm like watching. I'm like, oh shit! Every single thing I just
I know the boat happened. The boat thing. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, Jesus! I'm like, he's clairvoyant.
Yeah, you know? It was a pretty good episode actually. It surprisingly made up for quite a bit, specifically the tail end. Like the tail end actually, like for me, was just awesome.
It was.
I'm like, okay, here's Negan being Negan again, and I don't like him, and then. There are certain parts where it's like, okay, with him and Rick, when it's like the one-on-one type stuff, I know that there was a group around, but like when the conversation is like, you know, one-on-one, that's the part that gets me.
Yeah. When you said the very end, I thought you were talking about the standing and staring.
No, not that. The bro hug was a really long bro hug going on for a while.
There yeah, but that one got Reedus. Me in the feels, dude. No, nobody can cry like Norman Reedus as Daryl. Like,
no,
that dude can. That man can cry and hit you right in the feels, and then give Rick a bro hug and hit you in the bro feels really good.
His escape feels. Though, how weak was the escape? Like the first time, I felt nervous for him. The second time, this last episode, it was like, is there anybody around? Like, can somebody just try to stop him? Like, because there's nobody. And then that big dude's like, come on, man. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything. I actually felt for the guy who got waxed in the head with that. Because the guy wasn't, like, I don't even think he was going to do anything. And he just got killed.
Yeah. So now you know why there was that scene where he he brought Lucille to Negan. And it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is kind of an awkward scene. Why is this here? Oh, that's why. Because you're thinking in the back of your head, this guy is like Negan's... Negan worshippers, so yeah, don't trust him. Get him.
Yep.
Get him, Daryl.
The boat scene where they were taken on water,
oh,
and
God.
Then he falls into the water, and you don't see him for a couple of seconds. Like, well, he's not dead. Like, well, he's either gonna pop up with zombies on him, or he's just gonna pop up safe, which he did. I actually thought he was gonna be the one getting waxed early on.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, I thought so too. When he comes up and he's like checking himself, like, I'm okay, and like. Where did you get bit?
Yeah,
his clothes, everything was still tucked. There was nothing, like, nowhere he could physically be seen and bit. So I'm like, they bring that up later, be surprised.
Yeah. Aaron's character lasts a fairly long time, I think, so far, considering where he's from. You know what I mean? Like, he's from from that secondary group, and he's been around for quite a bit now.
Yeah. I thought that he was, I'm like, he's going to get it. And then again,
when they find the note, I'm like, oh, that's the reason for the note. They're just going to kill him right there. And yep. Like, nope, he lives there too. And it's like, all right. two Aaron death fake outs.
We talked about the cutscenes a couple episodes back on how they've been cutting in between different characters, and they did it again in this episode where they're cutting between, you know, Rick, and then they went and cut back to Negan, and then they cut over to Norman Reedus for a while, and like they just kept cutting. I actually appreciated it because this is not something that's typical of Walking Dead. Normally, it just sticks with one plot line and stays with it.
Yeah, they did Spencer and Rosita, Carol and Morgan, Michonne, Daryl and Jesus escaping, Rick and Aaron, it's Negan and Alexandra. They just were cutting back and forth, like, oh, a proper episode.
Brandon,
can't you do this more?
Then we're gonna have to.
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say to Brandon, he's gonna have to wield the bleep button because I'm about to bring one out. How the f*** does that thing hit the bat? Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Oh
no
God. Yeah.
Way.
I'm like, what?
Flipping kidding me? Like, if that thing hit the bat, I'm like, you've got to be effing kidding me. I'm sorry, I used effing this time. I didn't swear. But like, really, it was ridiculous. Like, they cut back to that, and I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It really made me angry.
Yeah, exactly. That was like, that's what it was. I would have much preferred just a scene where it's like, you missed me.
Like she doesn't know how to shoot a gun, and it actually goes off. Like, it kicks back on her, but instead it hits a bat. I'm like, I actually thought he had like a bulletproof vest. I thought he had something on that was like going to deflect it, and instead it was the bat. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, no, that.
Sorry, I got flustered.
Oh yeah, well when he's sitting there looking up, I'm like, really? I'm like, come on. They need something more. That the bulletproof vest thing would have been a much better idea because it's now you hit Lucille. And now she's not smooth anymore. I'm like, dude, knock it off.
She had a seat
like,
at the table. She was eating spaghetti.
I know.
Yeah. Also, she's a former soldier. She's a good shot, and she was close. So she went for the head. So bulletproof vest wouldn't win. So I think part of it goes with right there. But still, I'd much prefer her just be like accidentally missing.
We've had two or three attempts at Negan, literally at point blank range now, and nobody's been able to hit him. It's like watching Westworld.
Okay, thank you.
And they couldn't friggin' shoot the bullets and hit a single person.
See, what I was thinking is it's like they're in the park and they're the AI and he's got the shield around him.
It was pretty obvious that Spencer was going to go down once he did that smiley thing in front of the mirror prior to going out. Like, I was like, okay, well, Spencer's dead. Like, I just was waiting for it to happen. And then when he cut him.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that was awesome. The guts coming out were awesome.
It was.
Like, that was really awesome. I was like, this is really cool.
You do have guts.
Line was really good, though. Like, coming from him. And, did you notice, during the episode? I felt like during the episode. That Negan gained like a 5 o'clock shadow between the shave, and then like by the time he got to the end of the episode, he already had a beard.
100%. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's hair grows too fast for their filming budget, their filming schedule.
It was pretty good. Yeah. So we talked about last episode. Like every episode when they get to the mid season break, it's always the reunion show. It's like, okay, well, everybody's coming back together again. They did it last season. They did the season. Remember when they were trapped in the box 2 seasons ago? They were trapped in that container. They all got together again. This is what happens. They all get together again, and it makes sense.
This one was so awkward that everybody just slow looking. It's like a camera just panning. Everybody's slow look like this, like. How long is this gonna go? And they keep going. I'm just staring at the screen. They keep going.
When Rosita and Sasha just gave that nod to each other, they're like, "Yep, that's what's up." And that was like, really, it was like a bro nod. Like, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
So I feel like this is gonna it's gonna take what do you figure 2 episodes at least to get everybody the whole band together. It's gonna probably take 3 episodes to convince King in order to get him on board, you think? And then by that time, you're going to be, halfway through.
They need to find
through.
Him. Yeah. They don't know where he's at. So basically, Morgan or Carol is going to have to, they have to interact with one of them at some point.
And Carol then, gave up two middle fingers. She's just like, stop. Oops, oh, sorry. Stop coming to my house. Like, she's basically like, you're an unwanted guest. Can you guys please
stop? Yeah, and then you
over?
Insult me like, oh, you're not really a fighter. You can just convince him. I'll kill you right now.
The best part about it is he's like, I brought you some fruit. She's like, well, look it. I got a shit ton of fruit in the back. Like, she's like, I don't need any fruit. She's got bananas. She's got apples.
Yeah, well, basically, Carol's become, like, you know, the Clint Eastwood. She's like, get that beep off my lawn.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And it was awesome because he was just like, I wasn't even trying to see you anyway. I was just trying to walk around your front yard. Like,
he left. Ezekiel said, bitches love pomegranates and fruit. I'm bringing you fruit. Can I get what Ezekiel got?
Do you think?
Oh, get! That's Carol.
Do you think Eugene is going to serve a purpose as far as making weaponry for Negan? Like, do you think they're going to go that route? Is that going to be like a subplot of a story for this?
Negan's so good at identifying weakness. He's just going to see how weak this guy is, and he's basically just going to be like chained to a radiator, or just. He's just going to be so under his thumb because he has no spine. Negan knows it. He just has skill, and Negan's going to push that button hard. He's going to work him till his fingers fall off.
I love the thank you parts. He's always like, I brought Carl back. You should say thank you. I mean, this guy took out 10 of my guys with a machine gun, and I didn't even kill him. Every time he does something, it's like, you should say thank you. And I'm like, what? Like, it's awesome. That's the parts where I love him. Every other part, I can't stand him. Like, I literally can't stand him. That's the best part about it, though. It's made for me not to stand him. Like, that's why they do it. So that's good. But, man.
So it's moments like this that I wish that we were doing a live episode, because what we all just saw on camera was very animated.
I was pumped up. I'm ready. You get me all excited. Like, this is the first
pass
episode
the
I've
rolls,
been excited.
Please.
Right? Oh, please. That was really good.
You pass the rolls. Please. Sitting at the table.
He's like, you better make my lemonade straight. Like, he
I
really
have
got
this
that.
Lemonade right here.
And he looks at her, and then he looks at the glass like, I said to pour it.
Like how many things did he like nickname like, I said please with the rolls. I didn't kill your son after you killed two of my men. This guy was about to take the city from you, and I didn't kill him. Hey, she killed the fat girl who eats all your food. Somebody needs to thank me.
Somebody knows she isn't going hungry. I mean, it's like, come on. He was like, that's not even the person I would have killed. She must have said something to piss her off. It was. Some of those lines. That was his, like... from the first episode to this episode, there hasn't been a really good Negan moment, but like that about 10 or 15 minutes that he had in this episode brought me right back into Walking Dead again, because I was away for like I was just kind of drudging through these episodes. Like, I was watching it basically because we do it on this cast. Like, I was starting to get to the point where it was like, really? Like, I'm not into this anymore. And then that brought me right back in again. And the cliffhanger with trying to bring the groups together again has me interested in, you know, what's going to happen in February.
Okay, so one other thing that I want to talk about is we talk about the boots. You see the pattern on the boot?
On the tip.
The steering. Do you guys know what that's foretelling of?
No.
Okay, so this is... So we know that The Walking Dead, the series, they want to differentiate themselves from the comic. And so by doing so, they are now decided that they are going to start pushing some of the storylines up and move some of them back. Like, they're gonna start shifting storylines around. And what the biggest fan theory is that that's one of the Whisperers.
Mm. Okay, the different.
It's another group. It's another group that wears wear the skins of the dead.
I just thought it was a creepy boat guy.
Yeah, to me, he was just creepy boat guy, just like Michonne was like who Michonne was when she had the two dead walkers. Like, who is this crazy person right here? We're going to have, like, who is this crazy person that's going to reveal to be just, like, a normal person with a little bit of social anxiety till he meets her group, and they bring him into the fold, and they hug it out, and everybody has kumbaya turkey.
What did Michonne do with her Uber driver? Did she just like tell her to go back?
Uber driver.
Did she kill her? I didn't see it. Did I miss that?
Yeah, you see it. You see it
in the car. She's like, the driver's just like, there's a silencer in the glove box. And then they cut back to the scene and you just hear like a toop, and you see her head fall. And then Michonne just like pulls
her. Wait, I don't know how I missed that. I have no idea how I missed that.
It was that particular shot was filmed far away. The camera's down the hill, the car's way up it, and you can just see in the car, like,
well, damn.
The hand move,
when
gunshot,
you kill your Uber driver, like, how the hell do you get back? I guess you just drive the truck back and pretend like it never happened.
Yeah, she just drives back herself, and she just does exactly what the driver said. I think it's probably dump the body, dump the car, so Negan doesn't get wind of it, because she was obviously the scout that was going to check on him at Alexandria and goes about her life.
I think we're not cognizant of how important that scene is, because Michonne gets up close and personal and sees, besides Carl, how many people are part of his group. And so it was like when she went back to Rick, she's like, you don't understand, like they're out us like 50-1, like it's not even close, so like we got to figure something out. And I think that's the point, besides Rick being pissed off that his kid was being held by Negan, you know, it makes that decision and is like, okay, well, we got to get groups together. Like, and we talked about this probably, what, 3 or 4 episodes ago. Like, if this is going to work, he's going to have to gather everybody together, and it's going to have to be a whole, like, Ezekiel is the key because he has the most people. So if they can get his group and then they can get whoever is at Alexandria, and we already know what's going on at Alexandria. She's taking care of business. She took that apple and she was like, listen, I'm hungry.
Well, that's not Alexandria. That's the Hilltop.
Hilltop, sorry. She was just like, you better give me the apple. And she didn't blink. She ate that apple and then looked at him with a wink. Was like, yep, I'm eating your apple.
What do we call that one town? The island or whatever. The island of
the beach.
The beach. Okay, we call it the beach.
The beach?
We'll just call it the beach.
Right? Okay.
What I want to know is when they're going to bring those females that were in 2 episodes ago, because they have all the weaponry. And
yeah,
so when they bring them in, like was it the beach? Is that what you were talking about, Damian?
Yeah.
Okay, when they bring them in because they have all the weapons, that's a huge deal. Their forces aren't that large, but the amount of weaponry they have is huge. That's the key.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, it seems like Ezekiel's Robert the Bruce, and Rick's Braveheart, William Wallace, and he's unite the clans, and he's bringing everybody together.
That is a really really good analogy. Anytime you can bring Braveheart into conversation, I'm all for it.
Why did Carl put back that patch, man? I was happy with no eye. Like, I was actually really digging the no eye part, and then he put that thing back on his eye again. It was come on, dude.
Yeah. My wife couldn't take it. She kept having to look away.
Oh, no, really?
No, they put the patch back on. You know, it's to save money on makeup.
It saves money on makeup.
CG right there,
That CG stuff. So I think all told, you know, Walking Dead, if I had to give the first half of the season a score personally, I'd probably give it a 7. Like, I mean, I was really there was about a four episode stretch where I was just like, really? Like, I honestly was out of it. But the first bookends to this for me are what saved this show. And so I was really into those two parts, which gives me hope for the second half of this season.
I'm right there with you. I'd go for a 7 with it. I mean, if you could, because I mean, you got to compare it to the past seasons, and so this one, even though we knew it's a buildup, I think the rest of the season after this would be nothing but going uphill. But time will tell.
Yeah, I'm probably like 6, 6.5, and like the 4 episodes, I was just thinking right now which ones were actually the good ones. And like episode 1, Daryl's individual episode in prison, even though that song can't get out of my head now.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Then the last 2.
Yeah.
Like, and everything else, all of the other individual episodes besides Daryl's were distracting, boring, unnecessary, and hopefully it never do anything like that again. And so, yeah, it's it definitely lost lost some fans, but definitely lost its place in my heart this season. It moved down a little bit because it really needs to get focused moving forward.
Shout out to Jesus not being able to do squat, because that dude didn't do anything. He hopped on the back of a truck, drank some booze, hopped off of a truck, didn't help Carl, and then didn't help Daryl get out. Like, yeah. that was basically his subplot in that whole storyline. The guy did nothing. He literally did. I don't even know what he did. Like, he just showed up.
He watched Daryl kill that guy. And he's like, all right, we can go now.
He's like, we can go now. Hey, by the way.
Exits this way. Exits this way.
And then Daryl's like, oh, well, I have the key. I'm really not sure how I got it, but I guess I do have it. So let's hop on the motorcycle and go. All right, great. Yeah. It's gone. And, poor Jesus. He has no storyline. He's just a pretty face.
I was just going to say, his job was just to sit around and look pretty.
Yeah, that's
and then ninja kick zombies.
Yes.
If he would have done like a backflip off the motorcycle or something, been kind of cool. But he drank some booze and then poured it out. So he had a party foul right off the back of the truck. And didn't help Carl. He let Carl run. And then he was like, nah, I'm not even going inside. Didn't save Carl at all. And then he didn't help Daryl. So no love for Jesus.
Yeah. One more show that kind of came in. Me and Brandon watch and talk about will be Flash. They've kind of upped their villain, and there was one major reveal.
Yes, there was.
A non-Westworld prediction.
Yep, exactly. I kind of seen it coming, but I'm like, no, they wouldn't do that. Not in this. But then it turned out, yeah, that's who it is. Wow, look at that.
Oh, so they made. Mm-hmm. So is the villain? Is the villain the beat? Not Beatnik.
Draco Malfoy. It's not Beatnik Wells.
Okay.
No. The villain is Draco Malfoy. Or the character, the actor who plays.
And Mark Hamill is in this episode again too.
Was that him?
Yeah, James Jesse the trickster.
Somebody just acting.
No, that was actually Mark Hamill again. He's got credit. He's listed as under credits for IMDb as well. He is always coming into the show. I love it.
Yeah, they just threw a bunch of makeup on him there because that's Earth 3 Trickster. Right. We see him in Earth 1 looking like Mark Hamill. This one, they just threw all kinds of makeup on him. Jeez.
Yeah, he looked a little bit more closer to the Joker in this one than he did the Trickster from the original Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and like Tim Burton Joker.
Right.
Like, let's go. Yeah.
I got a lot of catching up.
You do.
There is just a metric. Yeah, instead of watching a show that you liked for the third time, watch a show you haven't
seen at all,
watched yet for the first time.
The only downside of this episode is it's getting a winter break too. So the next episode is not going to be out until mid-January. Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
There's nothing
for that. How many episodes have there been? 12. 12 episodes in?
This season, this was 8.
Yeah, this, eight? This, no, this is
8 or 9. No, 8 or 9.
The next one comes out on 24 January for episode 10.
Okay. Aren't there 22 episodes?
The seasons are 22 to 23 episodes.
This one's 23, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a stupid long amount of episodes, but like, this did feel like a mid-season finale, even though it was episode 9.
Yeah, and they did it as a Christmas special and all that as well, too.
Is that the sing-along?
No, not yet.
I think that's episode 11.
Okay.
Yeah. From what I read a while back, they were pegging episode 11 for that one. We'll see if that actually is where it landed.
Peggy
16.
Peggy
18.
Yep.
Peggy 18. I don't know.
I just wanted to give a real quick shout before we move into our next segment. I'm not proud to admit this. But as a family, my wife and I watch Fuller House on Netflix. And the reason why I bring this up is because we had a death in the community of actors yesterday. At 69 years old, Alan Thicke passed away. If you all remember Family Ties, which I do as a kid, that was like literally like that was a show between The Cosby Show, Growing Pains. There was a couple of those shows that were just like kind of cornerstones for me. If you did not see a tweet from Leonardo DiCaprio, who literally credits Alan Thicke as like one of the coolest guys he's ever seen in the business, when he walks in a room, thought it was a very classy move. Alan Thicke was in Fuller House, which is why I brought it up in the first episode. He was also on a show that my brother produces. He was in the first episode of This Is Us as an actor that was with one of the guys. So just a shout out to Alan Thicke. Very, very classy. I don't know him from many things aside from watching Growing Pains, but as a kid, that's a cornerstone for me as a television show that I remember growing up.
Yeah, and he actually created a metric butt ton of opening jingles for different shows. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
Yeah,
did
like
not.
He did Wheel of Fortune not. And all kinds of other things. Like he,
that's yeah, crazy. His son was in music.
Yeah,
recently.
But he did a lot.
The
of
best them. Part about it, it, like, and when I found out that he did it, like playing hockey and hanging out with his kid, like it was like, you know, obviously he passed away from a heart attack. But if you're hanging out with your family and like that's when it happens, you know, that's like actually kind of a cool thing in my opinion, just because you're around people that you love and doing things that you love and enjoy. So, sorry to be a downer on it, but it was just something I thought was really important. Like Alan Thicke had a presence in my life growing up in that respect. And so, shout out to him.
Yep. Let's do a moment of silence before we do Game On.
So I'm ready to go into Game On.
Coming from death, now we're talking about the rise, talking about the dawning now, the dawning in destiny. It is now here. Who has played a little dawning?
Oh, I have been. I hopped
damn.
In. And
I want to play. I wanted to play tonight. Like, I was all in. I'm like, can I play tonight? And Faust is like, I think we're recording tonight. I'm like, damn, I want to play.
Yeah, so I hopped in. And so the SRL, I've been playing that. And the old maps, I'm kicking the crap out of people on the old maps. I get on the old maps, I know all the
shortcuts.
All the little shortcuts and things like that to get around. And like, but then the new maps, oh my gosh, the new maps are just kicking my ass.
Dude,
like,
the forklift. That's all I'm going to say. The forklift. If you haven't ran into the forklift, you're God or something, because screw that forklift.
Wait, forklift?
Yeah, there's a forklift right in the middle of one lane of the track. Right as you come around a blind corner, right in the middle of the lane where you would normally want to be, there's a freaking forklift. It screw that forklift. Thanks, Bungie.
I'm just looking to get my icebreaker. Like, I just want to hop in and be able to hang out for a little while. That's the part I miss about Destiny, is the fact that, like, you can hop in and out. Like, you can play for an hour, be chill. I don't even have to have the sound on. I can go into a strike, knock one out real quick, and then be out and go back to bed. You know what I mean? And so, like, I don't have to spend hours at a time. I don't have to think a lot. Like, I can just hang out. Or I can, you know, hang out with clan members and bullshit for an hour or two, have some fun, and then be able to, you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff I miss. And I bounced out of Destiny for, I don't know, I probably haven't played in, gosh, since we did the stream. Like, what was that, almost a month ago? Was probably the last time I played, and it was just because I just kind of had it. Like, I was kind of hit my limit. But this might be enough to grab me at least for another two or three weeks, you know, up through Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I think I just unlocked the quest for the Icebreaker, but I'm not sure.
It's Icebreaker's a random drop. Yes,
random
after
drop?
Completing
okay,
a bounty.
Well, I got a quest for something. Because I got a quest after completing a bounty. So we'll have to see what that is.
I trade my thorn in for that.
Oh, I want the thorn so bad. I've not got that yet.
Can we trade in Destiny? That would be great.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know how long they've been asking for trading? I mean, come on.
Never going to happen.
You get a Gjallarhorn. You get a Gjallarhorn. We have had people in the clan that would get, like Gjallarhorns all the dang time. And I'm just sitting there going, I want, yeah.
Yep. Cajun and Fouts are pointing at their heads right now.
Hey, Destiny. Destiny, there's trading in the Division. I'm just saying.
Item sharing, it's item, different.
Item sharing.
But at least it's something.
Item sharing. Technical alpha.
Even then, when I would get a Gjallarhorn at Crota, I wouldn't just delete it in front of all of my clanmates. It's like they don't have it. I'm like,
oh shit, I would.
I have three already fully leveled. I'm gonna be deleting this now. Don't hate me. Or hate me.
They're shared
I don't
YouTube
care.
Videos.
I'm deleting it anyway.
I still haven't even got a mythic glass, so
oh, Vex. Come on. I want. I
you
so
haven't gotten
want
a mythic
class?
Class?
No, I don't
so
have
bad.
A mythic class. And I've tried for that so damn hard.
I got one in year two. I didn't get in. It didn't drop for me at all in year one. And some people were running back through a hard mode just for. I think somebody was going for Fatebringer, and I ran through with them. I ended up getting a mythic class.
Nice.
My first.
Nice.
And only.
Did you have it leveled up to 180?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, whatever level it was, it's the match.
Things are up to 400 now, but you like you have it all leveled up to 180.
Oh, it was 180, all right. Oh,
I do need to go do fusion rifles though. One time,
I'll tell you what though.
Like Vex Mythic class with the Astraven's Flight or something.
You take a 180 through some Crucible matches, you can lay the hammer down on some people if it's not, you know, if it's,
yeah,
not,
it's
for
not
power.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's the only way I get to use a thorn. But
yeah, it's still not the same. Even a max level thorn is just not the same. Like I can't kill as fast as I used to with it. And like I'm too used to pulse rifles now. I just like,
yeah,
down.
I still use my hand cannon for everything.
Yeah, I know. The hand cannon you got right off the bat after we finally got online.
The god roll.
That's ridiculous.
I love that thing.
So what's new with Overwatch?
Disappointment.
Disappointment.
What game of the year? The game of the year, PvP only game of the year, is disappointing.
Yes,
I've seen nothing okay, but those now, Santa pants and everything else online about with all those pictures.
Okay, so they got new skins for some of the characters. They're nice looking skins. They're fun. Winston turns into
an abominable snowman. Which that one's cool. That was cool. It's about the only
yes,
one
it is. McCree is Scrooge.
Yep.
Let's see who else. You get Tracer as an elf. May is Mrs. Claus, I guess.
Yep.
Or Mrs. Claus. Torbjorn is Santa. And I think that's it, isn't
it? What's funny about this is before they even knew this, Mjolnir, the guys from Mjolnir, shout out to those guys. They actually on their last episode they called basically everybody out. The only thing that they didn't get right was they called out Tracer to be Rudolph.
I would have actually rather her been Rudolph. That'd have been a lot funnier, in my opinion. But so with the Halloween event, they had a one specific type of event for the Halloween event where you had four people and you had to fight Junkenstein's monster, and it actually was a lot of fun. With this Christmas holiday quote-unquote event, everybody is May. And you only have one shot with your gun. After you shoot your gun, you have to go find a pile of snow and hold down your left trigger, suck up snow into your machine, so that way you could fire another shot.
Okay.
It sucks.
Did we get a new map, though? All. We got a new map, right?
I know that there was one on the test server. I don't know if it came live yet or not. I tried out a holiday event playlist or whatever, and it's only on the Antarctic map that was released with the last one. So, in my opinion, it sucks. And I love the game. So
what's this game in the notes? Stardew Valley.
So, okay, Stardew Valley, I'm super stoked about it. I'm actually will be playing it a little bit later. It is, it's like you mix Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening, with Harvest Moon. And if you're not familiar with Harvest Moon, think about kind of, it's a game that basically Farmville was based off of. But it's okay. It's like traditional 16-bit graphics. You have a cave that's like an infinite dungeon you go into to get new gear and stuff like that. And you actually use weapons on. But then you have the whole other aspects of like an RPG, kind of like a Final Fantasy, mixed with the Harvest Moon. I have a farm and I need to fix up the land and get my farm going again.
Well, doesn't it have a touch of like Animal Crossings in it? Like,
oh yeah, I mean, oh yeah. Yeah. It's like a meld of a bunch of different things, and the sound, like the music and stuff like that. It just, I don't know. It for someone like Harvest Moon was like a big deal to me. Like when I got it on the Super Nintendo. I actually had a copy of it on the Nintendo 64, and it's one of the rarest Nintendo 64 titles to find. I may have just traded that in, but.
You know, rare things increase in value over time.
Yeah, well, I have another copy.
You keep them. Okay.
Yeah, I have.
Which is why you should have kept both copies.
You keep both copies, then you get both the value.
I know. But
eBay, not GameStop.
Mess.
eBay, not GameStop.
But yeah, it's just a really cool game. It did really well on Steam, and it's really cool to see it get to come to console now. Now, Chris, however, I heard that Sony is having some issues with the title. I know Xbox isn't having them, but
Sony's having some severe issues where the game's kind of crashing. There are sleep cycles in the game, and you kind of go from level to level through sleep cycle, and level 3 through 4 causes the game to like just skip and stay in that sleep mode without ever kicking back out again. The other thing that I want to mention is I know that we talked, you just said it was a Steam game. The game switches the controllers, but still has the controller and the right stick as a mouse controller. So the game still plays like a PC game on a console game. And for people who are console players, this is probably not going to sit very well because it's going to be really confusing on how to use the control sticks in order to make this game play.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so the people that are playing it on console are basically coming back and going, if I'm going to do this, I might as well just play this on a PC. And by the way, literally the most basic of basic PCs can play this game. It's not like you need some type of heavy rig in order to play this. If you have a basic PC, you can play this game.
And if only people just had this long queue of games they could play instead of this if they weren't having fun with it, which everybody has right now.
If anybody needs any information on what a basic PC that could play or move this game would be, give a shout out to Fouts. Just send him something on Twitter or send something to Geekologist Radio. I'm sure he'll be able to give you some information on what you can do in order to ramp up a PC with, I'm guessing, a basic i5 and some minor.
You wouldn't even need that.
You wouldn't even need that in order to run this thing, right? Like, so you're the most basic of basic. You can play this game on what you own right now.
So one other thing that I didn't put on here that I wanted to talk about is, have anybody checked out the Resident Evil demo?
Nope.
Man, it's kind of like the 80s, you know, 80s Leatherface. It's kind of like that thing going on where you got this like hick family that eating people and whatnot. It's, I don't know, man. It's like Resident Evil. I used to play those games, like my buddies and stuff, we'd come around and like we'd all sit in the room and we'd just take turns playing the game, trying to figure out the puzzles and stuff like that. And both of us would get, you know, usually the three of us would jump, you know, at all the scares and whatnot. But we turned a single player game into a multiplayer game, but it was that third person, you know, view and stuff. Well, this one, it's a first person view. I have a hard time calling it Resident Evil. It feels more like Criminal Minds Origins. I lost my game title I was going to mention.
But it didn't look like... I saw a trailer for it. It didn't look like a Resident Evil game.
No.
It looked like a different type of game. I was surprised when the Resident Evil name came at the end of the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, it's more... It's closer to, like, Outlast. And... but, I mean, it's... I mean, it does the trick. It scares the crap out of you. I mean, I want it, but... You know, it's one of those games where it'd be fun for other people to watch me play. Because I'd probably make some weird sounds.
Peggy 18.
Brandon, you have one more?
Yes, I do. So recently we got a Pokemon Go update. It included seven new baby Pokemon, like the Pichu and a few other ones. It also gave us the Christmas update, which is pretty much just a Pikachu with a Santa hat. And if you get a Pikachu with a Santa Claus hat on, it will be able to keep that in your inventory after the holiday event. So it'll be a permanent fixture.
Right in time for people to go out, freeze their butts off.
Exactly.
Isn't that part of the Starbucks promotion? Because they have the Pokemon, coffee drinks right now. I know. Yep. Yeah, my son wanted to go to get one, and then we found out. You know, we've been trying to call him on the phone. He's like, oh, my phone's just dead. So just checked his phone. There's a reason why he hasn't been able to answer his phone. His phone's broken. That's why he hasn't been playing Pokemon. We just found that out about half an hour ago. or before the episode.
And got called out.
I want to give a shout out to Sea of Thieves, to the technical alpha. If you're part of it, if you're part of the insider program, hop on to your profile, find out. There's a good possibility that your spam folder might be holding the acceptance into the alpha currently. It sounds funny, but I know two people now that were accepted in but didn't realize they were in because of the spam folder. So the technical alpha is going to run this weekend. We know a few more details than are allowed to be dispersed about it, but just look into your spam folders, take a look at it, see if you're accepted. You'll know right away. If you go into your profile, it'll say either not accepted or accepted into a beta, or I can't remember
technical how technical alpha.
Technical alpha, or however they put it on there. But just kind of keep an eye out. I know those guys are going to be running tests on it this upcoming weekend, which is super exciting. Alphas just mean one step closer to betas. Betas mean one step closer to actually playing the game. So if you were part of the insider program or weren't in part of the insider program, hop in, because it'll give you an opportunity when the beta pops in order to get a shot at it. I guess a great way to be involved in that, in the insider program, and have a shot at playing these, is to kind of spread the news a little bit. So throw it through your Twitch, throw it through your Twitter, hop in the forums. The more you're active and the more you're involved in the Rare community, the more opportunities you have in order to be part of these betas and alphas.
And if you're one of the lucky 1,000 people that got into this first original technical alpha, first off, congratulations. Second off, I hate you.
Just saying. Also, don't be a D-bag about it, too, and don't start throwing out information or start shooting off stuff. Like, it's an alpha.
No. Uphold the NDA.
I know there's an NDA. Keep the NDA. It's an alpha for a reason. If things are crappy or there's glitches or there's – it's because it's an alpha. Like, this isn't the full package. And also just respect the fact that, you know, you were they were awesome enough to let you into this. Don't be stupid and start shooting off information, because all it does is just cause bad vibes. It really does.
And if you find a lot of problems, the best thing you can do is get onto the appropriate forum where you're supposed to be reporting bugs, issues, and give honest feedback about it. Because that's the only way that if there is a problem, they'll know about it, the problem can get fixed, and the experience can get better for the next group of testers or the next beta or the actual final release.
That's what this alpha is about. Like, that's what they're looking for. They want honest feedback. They want you to tell them, this is broke. This does not work. If I do this, this happens. They want that kind of information. We talked about it last week. They only run about 10 beta testers on their team. So this technical alpha is basically 1,000 people trying to break this thing and see what it is that either A, makes it work really well and people are into it, or B, doesn't make it work so well and they have to fix it. But one way or another, they want it to be a great game. And the only way they can do that is the people that are giving them that information. It's time to get up into the hype train. Whoop, whoop. Nobody's going to talk about Rogue One. I'm all in. I am super pumped, super excited. If you look at Rotten Tomatoes right now, the reviews and the scores on this thing are through the roof. When I say
through the roof. I don't know about through the roof. 84% is really good.
Listen, for Star Wars, 84% is through the roof. Because you have people that are going to try to treat this like it's an Academy Award film, which it is not. But at 84%, there's talk of the fact that it might actually be representative in some type of awards for this film, which is more than anybody can ask for.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is this is ground zero for Star Wars that is not an episodic series. You know what I mean? These are all the off branches. So for this to do as well or get as well received as it is currently being through the media speaks volumes of the ability for them to do the Han Solo movie, the Boba Fett movie, whatever else they're going to do. They might even run a few more Rogue One or Rogue Squadron movies out of this. So that's kind of cool. And specifically for a movie where you already know the ending. Like, you know that they get the information and they give it to Leia. Like, they, you know where it goes. So, like, it's for them to be able to accomplish this and people to know the end story, almost kind of like Lord of the Rings style, like you already know what's going to happen, I think is really, really cool. And I get to go see it tomorrow. I'm so pumped up. I can't even, I'm beyond words.
See, tomorrow
I think we're recording so late now. It's today for you.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is today.
So today, it'll be my son's birthday, and so he'll be turning 14. My oldest son, and like I had to tell him, like,
you are officially old.
I'm like, hey, do you want to see Star Wars for your birthday? I'm like, I know you're not as into it as your brother. He's like, oh, but this one's like takes place before the original trilogy. He goes, so I'm down for that. Let's go see it. I'm like, yes. So yeah, I get to go see it tomorrow, and I will be.
Son, you want to take your dad to see a movie for your birthday?
Pretty much, and I'll be in full Sith attire, so my lightsaber and everything. So I'm
so he's gonna be dropped off at the parking lot to the theater, and then just walk his way in.
can you drop dad off at the door and go park? I need to say hi to the other fans.
I'm just super excited. I'm hoping that whatever is relayed through the media about how well this movie is relates to me. You know what I mean? So that it touches on a level where I'm like, yes, this is not just good for a Star Wars movie, but good as a movie in general. That's my hope. And I was going to say, I'm taking my 8-year-old, and I have a 6-year-old that has been asking to go, and my wife is very hesitant and would like for me to watch this with my 8-year-old first to see if it's okay. And I'm actually really, really hopeful that it is like a family-friendly movie so that I can take him too, because he really wants to go see it.
I don't know, because yeah, I keep
just be friendly with your just be friendly with your friends on Facebook that ask like silly questions, like when does this take place and why is Vader in it and stuff like that.
He whips out a sword and just starts taking heads off.
Yeah,
just make stuff up.
Oh, I posted up a thing that said that like a little image, and it went through and kind of explained where it was at, and it's something that Mark Hamill said. Mark Hamill put up a meme, and it was talking about how it's the prequel to this, and then the sequel to this, and the anyway, and in the end he goes, all I want to know is, am I in this one?
The most exciting part about the fact that Rogue One is coming out is we're less than a year away now from the next Star Wars episode coming out, which means we get to see the continuation of the series. Not that I'm not excited about watching Rogue One tomorrow or today, actually, but the fact that like I'm a step closer to seeing what happens to Rey and seeing the continuation of this story, which to me is almost more so what I'm looking forward to. But like this is a nice appetizer.
Oh yeah,
I think the overall arching thing that they're trying to do, and it's working as well as you can imagine, considering this is going to make a ton of money and the hype, is they're making a Christmas tradition of Star Wars in December, and they're just going to own December for the foreseeable future.
Oh yeah,
because Star Wars.
Yeah, because I mean they announced that they're doing a Yoda origin film. So.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's going to be basically it's basically going to be like they're talking about being like samurai based more on how it's going to be, but yeah, it's going to be, we're going to see a young Yoda.
I can't imagine it. Is that a frog?
But who will they get to
like,
play?
I don't even, is that what it's like, it's like a beta, like it's like a tadpole.
Who would they get to
play?
Is
it a tadpole
Yoda,
like if it's a tadpole, that would be awesome.
He's so old now. How who would get to play Yoda?
Remember when you were 700 years ago when you were a kid? Like, I mean, how do you have that conversation? But that would be really cool.
Back in my day.
But as a tradition for Christmas. There's no major action films in December, so this is perfect for them. They could own December and nobody's
going to step
Assassin's
Creed.
Assassin's Creed comes out the week after.
Oh, come on.
No, nobody's counting that.
No.
I'm going to go see it.
Oh, I'm going to see it too.
Come on, I got to go see. I got to go see my namesake, you know.
80?
Yeah.
A little Michael Fassbender banger going on in here.
80% of that movie happens in the real world, and only 20% happens in... that goes into... virtual reality. So like I don't understand, like I can't even imagine being interested in this movie, like for me personally.
Yeah, this is a wait and see for me. This is like, yep. I'm gonna let other people kind of,
because it's Asperger's, right? Like is that what it's called?
Skeptical. Derek is skeptical.
Oh yeah, but I can't, the early reviews are very bad on this, and it's a typical video game movie. If you want to see a video game movie, watch documentaries. They're much, much better.
Nah, what? Just watch the original Mario Brothers.
I actually like that movie. I know you guys always give me shit for it.
Rewatch it.
I do. Your memory. I have it. I have it on Blu-ray.
Wait, and we trust your opinion on movies?
Hey.
Wait, why is he on this show, guys? I'm a little confused right now.
The Wiz, best video game movie ever.
Like, The Wizard.
The Wizard. When he had the power glove, that thing was awesome. Video Armageddon. And then he was like doing, like, you got to see the special trick in SM3. Like, are you kidding me? Like, nobody knew about that secret world until you watched that movie.
And was it announced in the movie? Or was it already out?
No, it was announced.
They used the movie as the launch
for the announcement, which is still, that's the greatest video game announcement ever.
It really was.
One of the best video games of our time, and using a movie to do it, Nintendo at its best before it decided to go ass backwards and now have the Switch and everything else that it does.
Yeah, like, they're basically like, progression, that means moving forward. I'd just rather stay here in my comfort zone.
It was kind of, speaking of which, did we talk about on Sunday about the Switch coming on Jimmy Fallon? Did we talk about that?
No, we did not.
No, like, the Switch happened on Fallon. Well, first of all, they showed early access to the Mario Run, which was really, really cool. It happened in Apple Store, so, like, if you have an Apple Store that was near you, I mean, it's releasing right now. It's releasing today on the 15th, which, or at least on my time, in Eastern time, it's already quarter after one. But they showed the first level. If you went into any Apple Store, you could play it. Pretty much for free, like you can do whatever, because the game itself is free. It's the extended levels that you have to pay for on this thing, and I believe it's $9.99 to pay for it, which I'm immediately gonna buy. Like, it, the game looks ridiculous, but it was kind of cool because they had Reggie on, and Yakamura was he was on there too. Like, so they had a bunch of stuff going on Fallon, and then they showed Breath of the Wild. They open up this box that looked like, you know, the question mark box from Super Mario Brothers, and there's the Switch. And so Reggie's like, okay, so now we're going to go to this, and pulls it up on the Switch and starts playing Breath of the Wild on the Switch, which was really, really cool. They did not show the cutaway when the TV screen goes blank, when you go from the screen to the TV to the screen and back and forth. They did a cutaway, so you did not see that. So I'm not sure how long the time frame is between, because there's got to be some version of a cut, you know what I mean? But it was kind of cool. You got to see the Switch live, which nobody's seen so far, and it just kind of amps the anticipation for January 12th, I believe. I believe it's that Thursday that they're gonna run this.
Wait, when's it comes out on January?
No, January 12th, Nintendo's gonna run their conference, which is okay. Their big announcement of the Switch, and the hope is, and I believe it's going to be, is you're going to get an announcement of pricing, you're going to get an announcement of battery life, and you're going to get an announcement of all the first party games that are going to be coming out at launch. And so if that's the case, they're going to run one of those Nintendo Directs that's very scripted. There's going to be no questions, and you're going to be able to see exactly what they're going to do. So at that point, everybody can start to make their decisions, and that'll be the pre-launch of this thing.
See, I'm actually really interested in it for a few things. Is that if I start picking up, you know, my shift change and stuff like that with inclement weather, you know, I used to bring my 3DS when I had one to work. If I had to wind up camping out, I would love to have the Switch there and just be able to play some games on that, you know, if I had to stay at work due to weather. So we're not like Brandon where it gets bunch of feet of snow and we're able to drive around in it. There's too many crazy people up here.
Side note as a correction, it was Shigeru Miyamoto that was at Jimmy Kimmel, or not Jimmy Kimmel, at Fallon. Fallon.
And didn't he play with the Roots?
He did, and Miyamoto is the creator of Mario Brothers as well as some of the other things. He's taken a step back as far as anything that's new Mario. Like, he's really working on just the speed run. And he's working on the new, and I know, Damien, you're going to be talking about the fact that Universal is going to be adding something into their theme parks.
Yeah, actually, so since we're talking about Nintendo, Universal Studios is going to create Nintendo Land. And if you've seen online, you can look it up. the right now, the pictures and stuff they have of what they want to create is basically like you're in Super. I mean, it's supposed to be various Nintendo titles, but the main basis of it is like you're in Super Mario World, only in three dimensional, and you get to walk through it, stuff like that. I'm just saying, I want to be able to get on. If I'm going to go on a ride, I want to be able to jump through a warp pipe first. I don't know how they're going to do it, but that's what I want to do.
A warp pipe. I think it's going to be really
everybody that goes in. Here, take this, and I'll hand you Link's first sword.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's wood. It'll definitely be popular. I mean, you're going to have the thing is it needs to be almost non-kiddish, because the group of people that are going to go there to go into Mario World are going to be people our age.
Yeah.
And so you have to make it accessible to people our age, because if you make it straight for kids and you make it Disney's version of Magic Kingdom and that, like, that Goofy Land and everything, you're going to lose people really fast. And because my kids' age have no idea who Mario is. They know who he is, like, in the 3DS version of Mario, and then but they don't know my version of the original Nintendo. And so there's not really a connection to it.
So Universal Studios, they do a really good job of integrating things like this, because, I mean, they have Simpsons. You can actually go to Moe's Tavern, and you know some of the kids.
Can you drink a beer there?
Oh, yeah. You can get a Flaming Moe.
Awesome. I had no clue. That is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get a Flaming Moe. It's awesome. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Is it an IPA? That'd be better.
So here's the thing. N64 Josh would approve of that.
I know he would.
How many IBUs is the enamel still on your teeth? So here's the thing is, I want to be able to go to a tavern in Nintendo Land. Like have it be like something from Legend of Zelda. You go in or something like that. Give us something, or a Donkey Kong tavern or something. You know, something like that. You have Grumpy Kong handing out the drinks.
To be the negative Nancy here, Nintendo grasping at straws, and I think they're fading hard, and they're trying anything and everything to grab any new audience to come back in. And there's only so long you can play this nostalgia game and continue making money off it. Eventually, people will want new stuff that is not based in Nostalgia Land, and we haven't seen plans for that yet. So. That's it. Just wanted to be negative Nancy on it for a bit.
That's the whole thing is, for me, it's kind of like, okay, well, if Nintendo doesn't up their game, we already know one of the main company that's already up here right next to them, their neighbors, that's looking at purchasing them. They almost did, but then the damn their little toys got them out of hot water. So, but Microsoft wants them bad. So. Who knows? We might see it.
You were talking about having beers at a bar, and Waypoint Radio asked Miyamoto who he'd have a beer with. Like, if he could have a beer with anybody, and you know, you're asking the creator of basically Zelda and Mario who he'd have a beer with if he could sit at a bar, and he actually thought for a second, and his response was Star Fox, because he thought that Star Fox.
Oh, that would be cool.
Which was pretty awesome, because he's not the creator of Star Fox, but he thought that having a beer with Star Fox would be like a really cool thing. And they try to catch him off guard, because like it's Miyamoto. Second of all, he's not going to answer. He's going to answer a very politically correct question, and you're catching him off guard with a question that is way off base. And he actually paused for a second and thought very carefully before he made that choice. So you mentioned the fact that you could go to that land and have a beer, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Fox
McCloud. Does anybody know theirs? Does anybody know their real or fictional character or person that they would want to have a beer with?
Man. In a video game? Like in general or just Nintendo?
No, in general. Real, alive, history, fictional.
Man.
To me, mine's Dave Grohl.
Like, Dave Grohl?
That dude's just cool person to hang out with, likes to drink beer, and been in like all the great bands, made tons of great music, been around the world. That's the dude I want to have a beer with. It'd just be so cool.
I would have a beer, and I've been infatuated from the beginning of time with Walt Disney just as a person, and I've read probably, I don't know, easily 8 to 10 books on his life story, just to find out like the reasons why certain things happen the way they happen. I just think it would be an interesting story at a bar, because I don't know how drunk he would get, but maybe I'd get drunker than that. But whatever.
What his drink of choice is. I'm
curious. There you go. If it's bourbon, he and I would definitely cheers for sure.
So mine would have to be Ramirez from Highlander.
Oh, is that Sean Connery?
Sean Connery, Ramirez. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. I've already taken shots before with Norman Reedus in person.
What?
So.
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's talking.
Yeah,
about
I've met Norman Reedus.
Wait. First of all, I'm calling bullshit. Second of all, why has that story not been announced here on the
show? It has been.
Okay, hang on now. Man, hang on.
I don't remember.
Listen, hang on. Okay, hang on.
You may have been asleep.
Okay, so Norman Reedus made a C-rated movie called Red Canyon. Red Canyon was filmed in where I live. Norman Reedus stayed in my parents' hotel for 2 weeks.
Really? Was this before Boondock Saints or after Boondock Saints?
It was in between. It was right before he started filming Boondock Saints 2.
Oh, so he was already in Boondock Saints. First of all, Boondock Saints, classic movie. You haven't seen it, go see it, please. Boondock Saints 2, not so great, but still Boondock Saints. So
right. But so, yeah, I've already taken shots with Norman Reedus. So if I was to choose anybody to have a beer with, it would be the three of you guys. Damn. Because we live all across the country from each other, and there's nobody else that I would just like to sit down in a bar with and have a drink with.
Hey, aren't you guys going to Vegas?
Aww.
Vegas.
Oh, right.
Actually, if my new schedule kicks in and aligns, that might actually be a thing. I haven't said anything
yet.
PAX
West.
Yes. Oh, that's gonna happen.
Yes. PAX West.
I'm just saying, because I've already prepped. The wife is prepped. I'm all ready to go. plane ticket, all set. I'm heading out. And I've also been to Seattle before, so I'm very familiar. I got a nice week stay there to go see a Mariners-Yankee series. Very familiar with. And I had to walk every place I went, which was even better. Bar per capita, every block.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, Seattle and Portland, man. Portland's got a different thing that they have per capita, but that's neither here nor there for the family show.
It's legal in half the states now.
Is it Mormons? No, that's Utah.
No, that's my state. That's my state.
All right, we really need to go.
We have gone off this hype train has gone off the rails.
We didn't even talk about Christopher Nolan's new war movie, where he's not even in the sci-fi or fantasy realm. He's doing like a historical docu movie.
No, thank you. Pass.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody yawned with Dunkirk. Let's move on to Despicable Me 3 then.
Dude,
that looks good. The only thing is, the preview didn't have enough of the minions.
It doesn't matter.
I really believe it's not going to have a ton of minions. I think they're going to do cameos. I'm calling Iron Man and Spider-Man in this movie, where they're only going to show them for about 5 to 10 minutes in this movie.
I don't think they have too much of a fan base based around those little creatures to just.
The minions is what I hate to say it, because I love Gru, you know, and all the other characters in the series, but the minions is what got that series huge,
right?
So much so that they gave the minions their own movie.
So which wasn't good.
No, it was bad. It was bad, and it wasn't appropriate for little kids. Twofold.
Yeah, if you're gonna do a spin-off movie from like your side characters, do the Penguins from Madagascar. That was a great movie.
That was good.
But Despicable Me 3, the new villain is played by Trey Parker from South Park, and I don't know if he's voiced anything outside of South Park.
Orgasmo.
Ever. No, voiced anything out of South Park. He hasn't done anything that hasn't been his creation or out of South Park. Like, he's done all his movie stuff, but anything outside of his work.
The character looks straight out of the 80s, dressed out of the 80s, in the 2000s, has a nice bald spot with, like, the... And then when he rolls out the Rubik's Cube and it explodes, it's like, yep. And the bubblegum thing, 80s bubblegum, is a big deal. So, they're going on every 80s trope. It's pretty cool, though. But, like, and even some
the keyboard guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Moonwalking across the water.
Yeah, Trey Parker has to have had some significant influence in this character too, because it's just so well rounded, and the dude is such an amazing like writer and visionary that he's just like, yeah, I could see him having significant influence and not just stepping in to voice it, because I would see that he hasn't stepped into roles like this because he probably hasn't had the creative freedom to have as much influence as he did in this, and giving him that lets him jump in. So.
Yeah, if they grabbed him, they probably say that, well, his, what he said he needs is, I need to have freedom to do X. And they're like, yep, you're good to go. And it's like, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. And probably just let him do whatever he wanted, which is kind of cool. Because considering Steve Carell is very improv, if they improv together and were able to play off of each other,
that would be awesome.
Which is what I guess would probably be something, because I don't think Trey Parker is so above doing a one-on-one like voiceover session with Steve Carell. Mm-hmm. And so they could probably play off each other and just figure it out, which is kind of cool.
Dude is very grounded.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. I know that we also had AMD announces AMD Ryzen.
Yes. Oh, God. I am so excited for this. AMD is dropping their brand new CPU on us. It's due out the first quarter of 2017. While we don't know the exact numbers and the exact specs, they did show us examples in their hour-long release event that they did. And they showed it going head-to-head with Intel's $1,100 CPU, the 6900K. And literally, like, it was either on par or doing better in just about every department. It was processing video, processing real-time 4K video better than what the 6900K was doing. It's going to give us DDR4 memory. It's going to give us new motherboards with a lot better specs in them. Really, if you're a fan about anything to do with processors or motherboards, or if you're looking to do an upgrade, wait for the Ryzen. It's expected to be at about $600 for the processor versus Intel's $1,100.
Versus me waiting for it to get cheaper than $600.
Yeah, I'll have to wait on that one.
I need more experience. I need to look into the past. What happened in the past and this week in Geek?
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
All right, so first up, we got December 11th, 2008. Google releases their first stable public version of their new web browser, Chrome. Chrome is now considered the third most popular web browser in the entire world.
Should be the only browser.
Firefox or Safari.
Safari.
Yeah, Safari would be up there.
Speaking of Safari.
Netscape for the win.
Internet Explorer, what? 5, 6?
Edge now.
Edge is the big deal, yeah. Microsoft Edge.
But so speaking of Safari, Apple Computers holds initial public offering, selling 4.6 million shares at $22 per share and turning more than 40 Apple employees and investors into instant millionaires. With the stock value closing at $29, the market capitalization puts the company's worth at $1.7 $7.8 billion. Stock held by Steve Jobs is worth $217 million. Steve Wozniak at $116 million, and Mike Markula $203 million. This was the largest IPO in the U.S. since the Ford Motor Company in 1956. Oh, to have gotten a piece of that fruit company back then. Oh. December. Like by the way, by the way, by the way, by the way, this is happening December 12th, 1980.
I am reading.
Oh, to have a great piece of fruit back then.
That is definitely what she said.
Yes. And then on December 13th, 1962, NASA launches the Active Repeater Communication Satellite Relay 1 from Cape Canaveral. One of the earliest communication satellites to be launched, Relay 1's mission was primarily experimental, but it was used for some notable events. It was the first satellite to broadcast television from the United States to Japan. So first satellite TV broadcast across the ocean.
All right, guys. So that's going to wrap it up for This Week in Geek. And it's also going to wrap us up for episode 18 on Geekologist Radio. Where can we find you at, Mr. Caucasian Saint?
Caucasian_Saint on Twitch. and all over the Uprising Family Gaming Slack. How about you, Mr. Damian Nash?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Damian Nash, also on geekologistradio.com, one of the writers over there, and geekologistradio at gmail.com.
And Chris?
I'm done. You can find me at Two Wolves, TWOWOLBZZ, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter. Just find me someplace. Fouts.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at BE underscore FOUTZ. I also help out with the Geekologist Radio Twitter, which is at Geekologist Radio minus the T because of stupid character restrictions. All right, guys, so that's going to wrap us up for Geekologist Radio. Hope to hear from everybody soon. If you have any comments or would like to see us review some different type of shows that's coming up that you know of, send us a message on Twitter, and we'll look into it. And on behalf of Geekologist Radio, we are meowt.
I just pulled a Derek. It's burning my eyes. It burns bad.
He ate a bunch of food and farted and smoked himself out. His eyes are watering. His fart stinks so bad. He took his glasses off, guys. He's rubbing his eyes with his hand, head down.
You're getting a Cajun play-by-play. Cajun play-by-play.
You know, it really burns.
I think he has lost sight in one of his eyes. We shall see if he can actually see.
He's winking. He's winking. He's so it's definitely in one eye. It's screen. One eye. Squinting.
Wait, is that Morse code?
Oh, his eyes have opened and he has blinked. I can see blood.
He believes the glasses need are a protective help. Shield. It's not. It's not.
Can't breathe.
He's there. It is. He's gone. He smoked out. Get the guy a gas mask.
As long as the dog's not behind him, we'll be okay.
Hey! Hey, no! No!
I give up. I'm done.
All right, let's hit the stop
button. It took me a second.